Well, let's turn back to Mark chapter 6. A couple of weeks ago, I began to think about what we know. I'm just asking four very simple questions. What do we know about the world? Remember, we're thinking about Thomas. And Thomas said, unless I see it for myself, I won't believe. And we saw that that's actually a ridiculous position to take, because if you only believe the things you saw for yourself, you wouldn't believe very much, because you don't actually see very much yourself. We need to know when to believe eyewitnesses. We need to know when to believe trustworthy documents like our Bibles. We're going to think today about what we know about other people. And then, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, about what we know about ourselves. And then after then, bringing a communion, what do we know about God? Just asking some very simple questions. Maybe looking at it from a different direction to what you might think. But here in Mark chapter 6, we see two amazements. In Mark chapter 6, verse 2, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and many people who had seen him grow up in their village of Nazareth were amazed, it says, at Jesus. They were amazed. But then, and perhaps more unexpectedly and strangely, in verse 6, we're told Jesus could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. Now, just thinking about someone sitting near to you just now. Just think about them just now. Ask yourself, what do you know about them? If I'm thinking about murder here, what do I know about murder? And I might actually think, well, I know quite a lot about murder, because we've spent a lot of time together. We've shared a lot of things together. But actually, turn it on its head, I know very, very little about murder. Very, very, very little about murder. And I'm sure that it's the same for all of us. We actually know very little about one another. Even the people we spend our lives with, perhaps our husbands or wives or our children even, we think we know them, but everyone has surprises. Isn't that true? I could tell you things about me that would surprise you. They might be good things, and you go, wow, that's impressive. Maybe there's not many of them. They might be bad things, and think, what? And you're our minister? I could shock you. I could surprise you. I don't know if I could quite amaze you. But we can all do that to one another, because there's lots of things in our lives that we don't share. And we think about lots of things that we're very glad that only God knows about. We wish perhaps even he didn't. But in a way, we should be glad, because he can forgive and he can deal with these things. But we're so glad other people don't know. So there's lots in our lives to surprise, and lots that other people could surprise us with. I had quite a funny conversation with someone the other day. I was just out for a short walk. In fact, it was so short, I was just walking up to my neighbour to buy some eggs. And I bumped into someone. He was walking along the road, and he was very keen to chat. So he stopped me to eat chat, and he lives in Herbesig, and I actually had never met him before. So we had a wee chat, talking away. And then there was a wee lull in the conversation. I said, so what have you been up to in the last 2 years? He said, no, I said 2 years. But he said, what have you been up in the last 2 years? I thought, what do I say here? So I just said, well, I've had kidney failure and a kidney transplant. Well, that fairly floored him. So, you know, that's the sort of thing. You can look at somebody and think, I know who they are and I know what they're up to. There's always surprises. You can always surprise people. And the reason why we're surprised, and the reason why we're amazed sometimes, or shocked sometimes, is because we don't really know other people all that well. And they can do things that are unexpected. They can react in ways that we weren't ready for. They can say things that we are truly appalled at or shocked at. Or they can come out with good things, things they've done. Great ideas. things that we can't explain sometimes. And it's great in a way to be in a world like that. It would be pretty boring if we all had no surprises. It's great to have surprises, and we can create surprises too. We can surprise people by doing something really beautiful for them, which they weren't looking for, or whatever. So we live in a world where, although we think we know other people, we actually really don't know one another all that well. We know so little. And it's for the same reason we so know so little about the world, because we're only in one place. And if we happen to be in the wrong place, as it were, and there is no wrong place, remember, because wherever we are is the place God has us, but if we happen to be in a place and we miss something, well, we're not going to know about that. Unless maybe later someone tells us. So we don't know very much, and we don't know very much about people, because we can't know their thoughts. We can't actually know what's going on in their heads. And yet, isn't it true that we judge one another all the time? You know, everyone is telling us just now what's going on in Vladimir Putin's head, for example. How do you know what's going on in Vladimir Putin's head? Don't know if he even knows himself. You know, and everyone has an opinion about, you know, why someone did that, or, you know, they shouldn't have done that, or they shouldn't have said that, or the reason that they did this was. And we all judge constantly one another, and sometimes the judgments are good. Sometimes they're charitable. Sometimes they're judgmental, in the sense that we find fault. And we give motives to the things that people have done that are bad or unworthy. And most of the time we're completely wrong. But we still seem to do it for all that. We're judging constantly. And we seem to think that we can know other people's motives, when we often don't even know our own motives. So we've got blind spots, just like we saw with these two things. We've got blind spots. Sometimes we just don't see what is there to see about other people. And sometimes other people are completely different to what we think they are. I was with a friend recently, and a few of us together, and we somehow came in discussing people we'd known who turned out to be entirely different to what we thought they were. In other words, people even who were living deceptions. Someone who pretended to be ill when they weren't. Someone who pretended to be a good Christian when they weren't. And in the news this week, we had someone who pretended to be a teenager and went to Bear's Den Academy at 30 years old to get hires. Or we had Anna Sorokin, the supposed German heiress, who was about to come into fortune and swindle people out of £250,000. She was nothing that she claimed to be. And if people can do that on a grand scale, we can all do it on a small scale in our own lives, and pretend to be better than we are, and pretend to be something that we're not. And we all do it. And then, when the truth comes out, sometimes we are amazed or shocked or surprised. Us happens here. There are two amazements here. Let's look at them. We've got the amazement of the Nazarene people. In fact, it's interesting to go through the whole Gospels and just look at how many times people are amazed at Jesus, just like the people of Nazareth are. Even the disciples are quite often amazed at Jesus, we're told. They were amazed at him. Who is this, they say. His family, his own family, are sometimes amazed. The crowds are sometimes said to be amazed. Pontius Pilate was said to be amazed at Jesus. Jairus was amazed when Jesus healed his daughter. People were amazed when Jesus rose from the dead. Because after the time that they spent with him, when they thought they'd got to know him, he didn't turn out to be what they thought he was. He was far more than they thought he was. He was full of surprises. And this is what happens in Nazareth. Because after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, remember, they had to flee to Egypt, maybe Joseph and Jesus, but then he came back, and they didn't go back to near
Jerusalem because they were afraid of the new heaven that was in place there. So they went to live in a very obscure part of Galilee, the village of Nazareth, which is where they'd started from on the way to answer the call of the census in Bethlehem. Nazareth. And Jesus grew up there. And for 30 years, the people of Nazareth had Jesus in their midst. And Jesus had other brothers and sisters, as we see here. And the family was just in with the very fabric of the village of Nazareth. And they thought they knew who he was. And they tell us that in verse 3. This is the carpenter. He's Mary's son. It's interesting, they don't say he's Joseph's son. But anyway, that's a little aside. Because he certainly is Mary's son, and he's not really Joseph's son. He's Mary's son. And he's the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. Just as well we've got this detail, because it's the only place, along with the parallel passage of Matthew, that we're told about Jesus' brothers' names. And his sisters are here with us. So they think they know Jesus. And their Jesus is a Jesus who doesn't do miracles. And who doesn't teach in the synagogue the wisdom of God. And so when he teaches in the synagogue, and when he does miracles, 30 years of thinking they knew Jesus is just set aside. What? You're hearing what he's saying here in the synagogue? We've never heard anything like this authoritative teaching about God. And did you hear what he did to that sick man? Healed him? And they are amazed. They're absolutely amazed. Because their Jesus, whom they think they know, doesn't do miracles and doesn't do wise teaching about God. What about your Jesus? What can your Jesus do? Well, you say, well, my Jesus can do miracles. And my Jesus does teach the truth about God in the most amazing way. Okay. So that's your Jesus. Does that mean you know your Jesus? Does that mean that when he does a miracle, it's not going to surprise you because your Jesus does miracles? And when he teaches the truth about God, it's not going to surprise you because your Jesus teaches the truth about God. So he can't surprise you anymore. And you say, well, I don't really mean that, Roddy. No, because our Jesus has got endless surprises left to tell us, to teach us, to show us. I think for looking forward to spending the future with him, it's going to be full of surprises. There will never be a humdrum Jesus, an ordinary Jesus. But the thing is, for you and for me, there's a danger that we get to the point, even as mature Christians, that we think, well, I know Jesus now. You know, whatever Roddy's going to teach out in the Gospels today about Jesus, I know it. It's not a surprise to me if Jesus calms a storm. And that's a very arrogant, smug place to be for us. Because the Jesus we're talking about is the Son of God. And if we think that we know him, and if we think that we won't be surprised by what he does, we're completely wrong. Our Jesus, even though he's a bigger Jesus than Jesus that the people of Nazareth thought was Jesus, is still a bigger Jesus than we think he is. Much, much bigger than you think or I think he is. And he's full of surprises. And we must understand that. Jesus has endless surprises left. But we have surprises even ourselves. Think about what God promises for you. Think about how the promises of God might help you in really difficult times in your life ahead. You might surprise yourself, and other people might be surprised and say, you know, look at how what God's doing in their lives. But then we look forward to the resurrection and to the new creation. That's going to be full of surprises for us in our own lives and for others. We're going to see amazing things. So we must try not to think that we know other people or that we know Jesus so, to the extent that there are no surprises left. Oh, there are surprises. There are surprises in what God's going to do in your life and in what God's going to do through Jesus in the future. There are lots of surprises left. One of the surprises, I think, for many people is in verse 6, if we come to the second amazement, to find Jesus is amazed. That does not fit with a lot of people's view of Jesus. And it certainly is one thing I had to get my head around as a young Christian, because I thought, right, okay, so I've learned that Jesus is God, so he knows everything. Very simple. But there's more to it than that. Because if he knew everything, he wouldn't be amazed. He'd just say, well, I knew that anyway. I knew that they were unbelieving. So there's no surprise there. But it means that he didn't know they were unbelieving. And because he didn't know they were unbelieving, and as a result, no one seemed to be asking him to do any miracles, he was amazed. Now this means that Jesus was a true man. It means that he had the same kind of mental experience that you and I have. And that is, he's limited to his five senses. And to thinking about what those five senses tell him. And therefore we read in Luke, for example, Luke chapter 2, verse 32, that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. We read in Hebrews, he learned obedience from through the things he suffered. Jesus grew in knowledge, he grew in wisdom, he grew in his experience and in his maturity. And you and I do the same thing. But then you say, but he's God, so doesn't he know everything? But this is an important thing, I think, to try and understand. And it is that although Jesus is God, and that God's Son has taken this body that is going to grow up and mature and learn and so on, this body called Jesus, God's Son, at the time that Jesus is walking around in this world, that we read about in the Gospels, does not have access to all that the mind of God's Son has in it, everything. Because Jesus is made like us. He is made as a man who, if he's going to get any knowledge beyond his five senses, is going to have to get that knowledge by the Holy Spirit. And as it happens, Jesus seems to have had a great deal richer experience of the Holy Spirit than we certainly have. Because the Holy Spirit was telling Jesus things all the time. You know, the Holy Spirit would be telling Jesus about people and about things and about what he was to do and where he was to go all the time. From the beginning of his ministry, it says the Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness. I want you to go out into the wilderness. And so he knew that's what he had to do. That wasn't told him by his five senses, it was told him by the Holy Spirit. But there are times the Holy Spirit didn't tell him things. Like the Holy Spirit didn't say to him, when you go to Nazareth, be ready for this. Your own neighbours, the kids you grew up with, they're not going to believe in you. He's not prepared for that. And because it happens and he's not prepared, he's shocked, he's amazed at their lack of faith. Sometimes it works the other way. Remember, a few weeks ago we looked at the centurion whose servant was sick. And we're told Jesus was amazed there too. But it was a positive amazement. He was amazed at his faith. He said, I haven't seen faith like this in Israel. So such great faith. He was amazed, it tells us. Now notice this. Jesus is not pretending. Sometimes we pretend to know things that we don't know. We do all the time. You know, we people tell us, you know, especially when it comes to kind of what's going on in the village. Have you heard so-and-so has done this? And you kind of, you don't want to appear like you didn't know the latest gossip. So, yeah. We don't know it at all. And that's deception. Jesus doesn't try to deceive his disciples. And he is, in a sense, the most reason to deceive, because they could say to him, you've told us to believe in you as the Son of God, and you didn't know that. So Jesus had a motive to sort of pretend, oh, well, actually, I knew that they weren't going to believe, because I'm God, you know. Because I'm God, I know all things. He didn't do that. He was happy to accept and acknowledge when he didn't know things. But he tells us in Mark chapter 13, that he doesn't know the time he's going to return to the world on the day of judgment. Tells us that. He's happy to tell us that he doesn't know things. He's not pretending to be something that he isn't. And again, that's a great thing for us to learn from. Just to be happy to know what you know, and not to pretend that you know more than you do. It's a good place to be. It's a place of peace. Sometimes the surprises that we'll give to other people if they get to know us better is that we're actually less impressive than they thought we were. Because they thought we were this good person, or they thought we were this competent person, or this clever person, and actually we turn out to be bad or hopeless or ignorant. And that's the way it is. Our hidden sins come out, and God knows those hidden sins are no surprises to him, but there are lots of surprises coming. For example, when Jesus does return to this world and the day of judgment takes place and the sheep and the goats are separated, we are going to undoubtedly have surprises. There will be some people that we thought were goats who turn out to be sheep. Perhaps because at the end of their lives they turn to Jesus. Perhaps just because they had a quiet, private faith that never really kind of became public. But there will be sheep who will turn out to be goats as well. There will be people who masqueraded in the church as Christians, but their hearts were festering with all kinds of opposition to God. Well, God knows these things. He's the only one who doesn't get surprises. And the Son of God knows these things now, because he's no longer in that condition where he depends on the Holy Spirit. He's now in his glory, where he has full access as a man to the knowledge of the universe that he has as God. But there will be lots of surprises for us. So what do we know about other people? Not very much. That might trouble us, but actually it shouldn't. We don't need to know. We shouldn't try to find out everything about everyone. We just spend endless hours scrolling down our screens, What a waste of time. Honestly. You'll never know everything. Leave that to God. Be content to look at the things that are really important. Be content to look at your own character and your own life to make sure that what you show to other people is the truth, so that they can get to know you properly. And that means being open, and that means being vulnerable. And we need vulnerability in the church so that we can help one another. Because if you think I'm really, really good, I'm not going to be the person that you're going to come to when you're struggling with temptation. But if you think that I struggle with temptation, and I do, then it's helpful for you to know that, so that you can come to me or to someone else who's also struggling, and you can help one another, you can pray for one another, you can support one another, because we need to not pretend. We need to be honest with each other about who we are and about our needs. And that in order that we can be close, because you can never be close to someone who's a pretense. And we know people perhaps like that, that we think, I can't get close to them because they put on this facade all the time that they're something, and I know they're not that, but they put it on. You never get close to them. Maybe you're thinking about someone that's like that. But that's not how we should be in the church. We can't know everything about everyone. We can't truly know one another. But we should help one another to know ourselves by being honest and straightforward and unhypocritical and direct. At the end of the story, it's quite sad really. They still don't know Jesus. The people of Nazareth. And it must have broken the Lord's heart, because he loved these people and he knew them so well. You know, I think about yesterday, the funeral I took in Plockton, and the church was absolutely full. And I've known these people for 30 years and I love them. And very, very few of them have in that time shown a love for Jesus. Some of them have. And that's been a wonderful encouragement. They've been very kind to me. But I want them to love Jesus. And that's how Jesus felt in the extreme, far more than I could feel it, for the people he'd spent 30 years with. And they still didn't know him at the end of those 30 years. They still didn't get what made him tick. I want the people of Plockton to know Jesus. I want the people of Kyle to know Jesus. And everywhere else around here to know Jesus. And that's really what it's about. But for Jesus himself to be 30 years with them and not know him. What a tragedy. How long have you been with Jesus? Coming to church. And at the end of that time now, do you know him? Do you keep getting wonderful surprises from the Jesus who just keeps doing, showing more grace than you thought was possible? More love, more forgiveness, more wisdom, more knowledge, more wonderful promises. Do you keep discovering surprises about Jesus? Why did they not know Jesus at the end of 30 years? Well, I have to say it's very simple. They didn't ask. Because it says in verse 5, he could not do any miracles there. Well, of course, Jesus could do miracles whenever God the Holy Spirit led him to do those miracles and said, do this. But the fact was, these people weren't asking him to do miracles. They weren't asking even, how did you get to be how you are? You know, tell us more about you. They weren't open to him. It says they took offense. And that's crazy. How would you take offense at Jesus when he's surprising you in this wonderful way with the teaching he's giving and the miracles he's doing, surely the thing to do is say, Jesus, tell me more. Tell me about yourself. I want to know more. I want to find out. Like, I feel I don't understand. I don't really know who you are. You're doing things that I don't understand. Your character is better than I can possibly understand. Who are you? Ask him questions. Find out more. Jesus has got wonderful surprises. There were one or two who asked him to lay hands on sick people and he healed them. They got a surprise, a very wonderful surprise. Ask. There are surprises left in the people around you. Maybe in your own husband or your wife or your children or your parents. Ask. Find out. Find out more. We don't really know the people around us at all. But Jesus has more surprises than you can possibly imagine. Ask. Find out. Discover. Explore. Tell him about yourself as well. There's no surprises now for Jesus with you. Just tell him what he already knows. He wants to hear it from your lips. If it's confession, if it's need, tell him. No barriers, no pretense. No pretending you're better than you are or that you know more than you do. Honesty, straightforwardness, openness. Because Jesus will always be open with you. What surprises then are you missing in Jesus because you're not asking? Let's pray for a moment together. Lord, we bow before you. We thank you for what your word tells us about you. People were surprised. Jesus, thank you that you are still surprising the world. And people today are going to be wonderfully surprised by who you are and what you do and the character that you have that is so rich in mercy and truth. Jesus, help us to keep asking. Help us to keep discovering you. Help us to keep growing in our knowledge of you, to go become more and more amazed at who you are. And living Jesus, we pray that we will be honest with you too, so that what you know about us, you will hear it from our own lips as we tell you the truth about ourselves, confess our sins and not try to make them disappear, and confess our need of your love and not try to make that disappear. Hear our prayers for your sake.